Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's hour four of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. We have David Hellman coming up in 20 minutes. We're 20 minutes from David Hellman, DallasCowboys.com, joining us. Okay, Brian Broaddus had a couple of notes earlier in the show that deserves a rebroadcast, if you will. A couple of very key players with insights gathered from his sources. On Jalen Smith, Brian, it looks like maybe, I'm just basing it off what you told us earlier.
Sure.
Do the Cowboys feel like he's actually a pretty good player, but the fans may have soured on him because of the attitude during the losing?
Yeah, I think that that's exactly what it is. And there, you know, you look at what went on with it, what happened really behind the scenes. We heard some things about Ben Bloom. They called it flu. He was away from the team and all that. People will say, no, there was a big disconnect between Ben Bloom, the linebackers coach, and Jalen Smith, and maybe some of the other linebackers there as well. So, yeah, that's something that the team definitely sided with Jalen Smith on this particular case.
That's encouraging. I so want that to be the case. And if they have evidence, you know, I would want to watch film with them and say what happened here, what happened there, what happened there.
Right.
They might say, listen, linebacker's hard to stay in front of people, and sometimes these guys make you miss. And I could accept that.
Right.
I think it's a little bit uglier when Jalen misses. And I think it's a little bit more difficult to imagine him staying in front of tight ends in the passing game.
Yeah, well, they had to figure out what works for him. And it started to be where they used him more on blitzing and thing like attacking the pocket, being the fourth rusher. Those are the kinds of things that he's capable of doing.
That's really good insight, though, and hopefully he could regain some of that 2018 form or momentum. But, man, the note about the coach, Jeff, it's like you got Jalen Smith, a really likable guy over here, at least that's the perception, hating the linebackers coach. You have Amari Cooper over here, a quiet stoic guy, and you told us that maybe he's more selfish than what
the, sure.
But hey, still, he's not the most confrontational and irritable guy to get along with. I mean, you have coaches that can't get along. Did they have the worst coaching staff in the NFL last year? What the hell are we doing with our important players, putting them in a position where they're so uncomfortable they're not playing well?
I guess that could be a reason for optimism. I mean, we all talked about Jason Garrett, but in the aftermath of this, you're finding out, hey, star receiver and his coach didn't get along. Star linebacker and his coach didn't get along. Plus, add in Jason Garrett, and it's like, well, holy cow. I mean, they still are going to have a challenge building out this roster to try to have a better roster than they did a year ago, but maybe you can just get more people on the same page, get people to do their jobs, and take some hope from that.
Yeah, I think that if you're Jalen Smith and the linebackers themselves, you know, having Ben Bloom gone could be very much like, hey, you know what, we played well, but potentially could play better with a little bit better direction.
And it's tough, you know, trying to get into a job environment and stay focused. I think athletes are probably better at it than the rest of us, but I would also look at the players and say, okay, how many of you guys are really, really good, and are you really going to tell us I wasn't good because I didn't like my coach? Well, like, what is that? Well, I need better mental toughness for my players, too.
No, there's no question about that. And that's on Smith. You know, okay. Smith also wanted, you know, we were talking about Smith wanted to run the defense. He wanted the responsibility.
Oh, yeah, that's a good angle.
He wanted the responsibility of running the defense when Leighton Vander Esch went out. And then, you know, they gave him that responsibility, and, you know, he's trying to take ownership of it. But there were missed calls, there were missed assignments. You know, that's on the player.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, you know, that now that's one of those things that's kind of eye-opening there. You can blame the coach,
yeah,
which, you know, we have, but it's also on Jalen Smith to get that done, too.
Interesting question. As the career goes on, do you want to be known as the leader and have the brand of the leader, or can you put in the discipline and the hard work that is going to be required of a guy with that much responsibility? It was his first shot, so I'll give him some time to have a learning curve there. All right.
I do. I think that's a really interesting difference is – because I do think there are a lot of people, and I don't know Jalen Smith. I know that every interaction I've ever had with him is incredibly positive, and I think that he's a great, positive, giving person. But you never know in that sports locker room. Like, is it view me this way, or is it, well, this is who I am,
yeah,
and so that's how you're going to feel.
And people are so complex and hypocritical and, you know, they contradict themselves without even knowing it, right? You can totally have an approach on something and you're just gauging it off your intentions, but not knowing what other people are seeing, you know, just all kinds of weird stuff gets involved there. And it's really hard to figure out life, right, for everybody. So then you try to put that through the magnifying glass of everybody's observing all of it. Must be a total mind trip.
It's one of those great sayings that I always get wrong. Something along the lines of, you judge other people by their actions and yourself by your intent.
Yes.
And that's not very fair.
No, it's not. But only you know what's your intent,
right,
truly. And only they know what's their intent. So I think, you know, that's why maybe Jesus said don't judge. But that's another story for another day on Byron Jones.
What time's that segment?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we'll bring in Mike for that one. On Byron Jones, based on what you were saying, Broadus, it sounded kind of like the team just doesn't think he's that good.
Well, yeah. That they felt like that his ceiling was where it's at. That you know what? This is what he's going to be. Chris Richard came in, saved his career. You know, helped him develop technique on the outside. We'd evaluate him. He'd played corner. He'd played safety. He's made a lot of starts. He's done a lot of nice things for your team. He's a very productive football player, but the team, the front office, views him as like, he's reached that ceiling. Time to move on from that.
So I think he's a cap casualty.
Yes.
Is that true?
I would say yes.
Okay.
Well, a lot of it has to do with what else is going on with the team.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of other issues that they're dealing with, but it seems like his case is more about, we just feel like this is what he is, and it's not worth paying for just that.
So they need a corner to cover as well as Byron or close and get you four picks a year.
This is where the front office, and you brought it up earlier, General, that, you know, either you have a lot of faith in this group or they are going to screw the pooch, as they say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're going to screw the pooch. I think that version of team building, I think it's wrong to prioritize your middle linebacker and your running back and not to prioritize a really good cover corner. I think they're backwards for how the league works right now. I think they're totally backwards, and I would worry about that decision-making process.
Yeah, I think you could get away if you were heavily on the defensive line, because there's a good debate going on right now with quarterbacks getting rid of the ball so quick. Should you pay paying more attention to your secondary? Because you need to cover for, you know, very quickly and do that for about 3 seconds and then you're done. But you have to be able to lock on and stay with a guy in that very important window of time to then give your defensive lineman a chance.
Yeah, I wonder if that mechanism has changed, Jeff. Remember over the years, it's the quarterback, it's the guy rushing to get the quarterback on the ground, it's the tackle to protect, to keep the quarterback from getting on the ground.
Yeah.
I wonder if that dynamic has now changed in organizations. It's like, no, it's the quarterback, it's the guy covering the receiver on the outside, and then it's about the tackle, and then the rusher.
You know? I do think right now, at least in the nerd space, it seems like the idea is you should prioritize the passing game. Your quarterback and the people he throws to, and then the people that cover them.
Yeah,
that's kind of where it's going from an analytical perspective, which, listen, I value numbers. I like having that information, but I won't just totally jump to that side of everything. Like, well, that's what the nerd said. Like, there's definitely value in protecting your quarterback and getting after the quarterback, but maybe we have undervalued how important your coverage is and what that allows you to do.
I think you are splitting hairs a little bit. Like, you could do it either way when you're flipping those top two and three other than quarterback. But I also think with this story specifically, I don't know how the Cowboys value. They've talked how they think corner is a premium position. I think they're covering for making a bad decision. I think they're saying Byron's not good enough.
But in real life, they messed up, and they know they messed up.
They're like, man, why do we do that?
Why do we do that?
Right. That is a tough
but
part.
I don't know who you're talking to. I don't mean to disrespect your sources.
No. Anyway. My sources are good on this one. But the thing I want to know is, in this draft, when they talk about defense, is it talking about rebuilding the secondary, or is it going to be about the linebacker and the defensive line?
They have to do all of it.
But I mean, could we see this draft where the first two picks could be like what they did with Cheeto and then Jordan Lewis?
The only thing that
I don't know if they necessarily trust Cheeto in this instance as well.
Maybe they shouldn't. Yeah. But I think the only mistake would be, and I'm going to go to their process here. I think that draft with Cheeto and Jordan Lewis and Taco, I think the whole thing was a mistake. Without talking about how well each player has played. Because they told us before the draft started what was going to happen.
Yeah.
That they were going to get the defensive end. And then after they'd picked the defensive end before day two, we knew two corners are coming. Like, they were picking positions.
Yeah.
They weren't picking players. So, like, right now, you do need to rebuild a defensive line and you need to rebuild a secondary. Let the board tell you which one goes when. Don't lock into like this player and we need this position. You need a lot. Let the board tell you.
Yeah, and I had faith building from 2013 to 17. I was like, oh yeah, best front office, killing the drafts, getting it done. And then they shifted when they got close. I think they went to let's put the icing on the cake instead of continue to process good football building decisions. Okay, elsewhere here, the top stories at 5 o'clock. We do them every day. Everything that's been developing in the world of sports and headlines are bursting all over the combine. One of the most interesting things from a Cowboys perspective is what the Rams are doing, not taking the full staff with them. I saw an interview with Sean McVay. He said he just came to do a little media and touch base with some guys, and then he's back to L.A.
I love it.
You know, and he said there's a couple of coaches staying back to work on the scheme, but and they're going to watch a little bit of film, but he did talk about empowering the people that do this work year-round. And I think if the NFL is following some Sean McVay on-the-field trends, that's an off-the-field trend that I'd love to see my team follow.
I think if you're any team, but some of the guys that I have a lot of respect for in the Cowboys organization, if you believe that Will McClay and Chris Hall and all those guys are good at what they do, why would you get in the way?
Like, why know what the roster is.
Why would you want to let your coordinators and your head coach be out there and interviewing the players and watching them work out, and maybe you have a coordinator that falls in love with a player, when I've got people that I trust that I think are very good at their jobs that are evaluating these guys? Let them do it.
I heard so far so good on these coaches and these scouts together.
Yeah.
And I think I would hear, if it was not working, I would think I'd hear that too.
Yeah.
But I'm hearing some positive reviews that they're giving them good feedback, but they understand that Mike McCarthy's saying, hey, you guys do your job. We got playbooks to put together.
Yeah.
That's what they're working on right now.
That's perfect.
Yep.
I think that's the way that it should be.
Did see a Mike Mayock quote. The Raiders, he is their GM, right? That's the title.
Yep.
Yes.
He expressed the perfect way to approach quarterback if you don't have Mahomes. He said, yeah, we like our quarterback, but if we can get better, we will. Yeah. And I thought, man, what's wrong with just calling it what it is? If you aren't playing quarterback on a Hall of Fame trajectory, knowing the Super Bowl is dominated by exactly those guys, it's not hard. It's not a hard assessment. We want to believe and have hope so much that if a guy is close to that or has the outline of that, has some of the stats like that, we're like, oh, yeah, this guy could do it. Don't tell me he can't. Why? Why? Why can't I bring up a question? Oh, you're an idiot. Oh, you believe that? it's maniacal to preserve the hope of a Super Bowl.
That laugh was maniacal.
Yeah, very it was maniacal.
Very maniacal.
I call it the three stages of loving your quarterback.
I saw this on Twitter.
Stage one, the guys who really love their quarterback, well, they just pay them, right?
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, we love you. Jared Goff, we love you. Carson Wentz,
here's
we love
the
you.
Most money in the NFL.
Right. Step two is Dak Prescott all by himself right now. We love you, we love you, we love you, we love you, and we love you, and we love you, and man, it's really tough to get this deal done. And then step three is Mike Mayock talking about Derek Carr and the Tampa Bay Bucks talking about Jameis, where their GM today said, we're not saying we don't want Jameis. We just want to see what's behind door number two.
Jason Light.
We just want to gather all our information. Dak is like the only guy in the NFL right now that lives in the middle.
Wow.
They're like, no, we really do love you. We're just the only team who hasn't proven it by paying you.
And I do want to make Dak probably the highest paid quarterback. I think that's coming pretty soon at around $36 million. I just, while he is doing an awesome job, hopefully being one of the few quarterbacks to not be a Hall of Famer who can win a Super Bowl while getting paid, just keep an eye out. Everybody can win. You know, if that's not going to offend Dak, you kidding me? That guy's tough. That's a real man right there.
It might offend him secretly.
Yeah.
He wouldn't say anything, and it wouldn't change his work ethic.
Oh, okay, David Hellman set to join us, DallasCowboys.com. The man David Hellman is going to tell – he's at the Combine, and he's going to tell us everything we need to know that people have been whispering about coming up next. Let's do this. It's time to talk with David Hellman, DallasCowboys.com here, as he's been at the Combine last couple of days, and he is prepared to – report with us with what he's observed. David Hellman, DallasCowboys.com. Segment is brought to you by Mark Rubin. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do what more fan listeners do. Make the free call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. He'll stop all the harassing collection calls and stress. Our guy Mark Rubin at 800-LAWYERS. Official lawyers of the Tolo, Rubin and Associates. And here he is live from Indianapolis, the great David Hellman. Good evening, sir.
What's up, my guys? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Dave, how come the Cowboys hate Byron Jones?
Because he's going to cost a boatload of money, and they already want to pay other people boatloads of money, I guess.
It hurts my heart to hear all the talk about
it?
Dak and Cooper and everybody else that got paid, but cornerback just doesn't matter. Just hurts my heart, Dave.
I don't know if it doesn't matter. This is honestly a really fascinating debate that I go back and forth with, because I'm sick of the trope that Byron's not valuable because he doesn't get picks. Like, I totally understand that. There's more to it than that. He's a great cover corner. He's played at an all-pro level. But then, like, at the same time, isn't the guy who touches the ball every game more important? Like, the guy who actually has the ability to change a game all on his own, which Amari Cooper has done, like, several times over during his Cowboy career?
I could prioritize Amari, let me rephrase. I definitely would prioritize number one receiver over your best cornerback. But do we feel great about the ability to trust Amari Cooper on a long-term, highly paid deal?
Well, and for starters, I'm not ruling that out entirely. Like, if you want to sit down and have a conversation about signing Amari, I'm not against it. But I think I've settled into, this is just my opinion, I've settled into this spot where what I would love for the Cowboys to do is tag Amari Cooper and draft a receiver that gives them the flexibility to move on if they don't want to sign. The problem is, obviously, they probably need to get a deal done with Dak Prescott before they can do any of that. So that's the fun part, is like there's about six balls being juggled in the air right now, and nobody seems to know where any of them are going to land.
Dave, I'm going to drag you into the ditch with me.
Oh, no.
And, oh, boy. Yeah, that's exciting. And, nice to talk to you too, Brian.
Yeah, and I want to know this. Why are they using the CBA as a crutch to get these deals done? Why are we hearing that from Stephen Jones, that we're waiting for the CBA and all that, when – they've got guys on competition committees. They've got a father who is a pillar of the National Football League's owners. They should know about what's happening here, shouldn't they?
Okay, I totally hear what you're saying. And, yes, if anybody's going to know about what's going on with the CBA, it's probably the Jones family. But I don't think it's completely BS, because even if they knew it was coming, they still need to know the parameters of what they're working with before they agree to dole out that type of money, don't you think? I mean, if you think about it, and, you know, for the record, I am not like a guru on all the ins and outs of the CBA and all of that complicated language. But if you think back to the last time they did this, the rules change drastically depending on whether you're in the last year of a CBA or whether you've got an extension. I mean, you think back to the trouble the Cowboys got in with the uncapped year. You think about the fact that, you know, whether or not there's a CBA in place changes whether or could change whether or not you have one or two tags to work with. Like, there's a lot of variables there, and I don't think the Cowboys are caught off guard by it, but until they know for sure what rules they're working with, they're probably not in a hurry to commit, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars to anybody.
Joined here with David Hellman of DallasCowboys.com. Hellman, Stephen Jones told you and told us he's looking at all defense right now. Is that the vibe you're getting, not only at the Combine, were you getting that vibe there at the Star before you even went to Indianapolis?
You know what? What's funny is I just filed a story, or I should call it a column, to DallasCowboys.com about, and this is Jeff Kavanaugh talking through me since we worked together on the draft show.
Do you need Brian to edit it for you before it goes up?
No, because I'm a trained writer, and Brian is not.
Okay, that's a fair point. Best thing you said all day.
No, I mean, like, listen, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out, like, most of this team's obvious needs are on defense. It's a high probability you're going to lose Byron Jones. We don't know what's going to happen with guys like Anthony Brown and Malik Collins, Jeff Heath, Darian Thompson, Sean Lee, Robert Quinn. Like, I just keep naming names. And at the same time, man, I'm just enamored by all the wide receivers that are here in Indianapolis. And it goes back to the point of like, okay, well, if you want to try to avoid some of these difficult cap conversations, drafting a badass wide receiver doesn't sound like a bad way to go to help you with some flexibility with Amari Cooper's future. But, yeah, I mean, Steven did say, you know, defense is a high priority. How could it not be? I think if, you know, if the season started today, they'd have like two starting defenders under contract. And so regardless of smoke screens or anything else, that's just a numbers game. Is in free agency and the draft, they're going to have to do some work to address that.
I think it's very fitting they have seven picks and they probably have seven needs to start on defense. So have at it, boys. But it would be fun if an offensive player was taken. What is the offensive position, Hellman, that you would think would be most possible to be picked in the first 2 days of the draft?
That's my thing right there, Gavin, is like you could probably find a starting caliber receiver in the fourth round, let alone the second or third. I mean, the names just go on and on. Like, you've heard about, you know about CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs, but, I mean, there's the Denzel Mimses of the world. There's Devin Duvernay. There's my guy Justin Jefferson down at LSU. Like, that's just a few off the top of my head that you could probably get in the second round. Or the third round, for that matter. Like, you know, I just keep thinking about the fact that the Cowboys found Michael Gallup at pick 81, and this is a much deeper receiver class than that. And that's really exciting to think about, is that you could sign a guy that could drastically help this offense, and you wouldn't have to spend a big pick to get him. That's what I keep thinking about. Tight end is the other one. I don't love what I've seen of this tight end class, but I do know, you know, from the early sounds of it, it sounds like the Cowboys are talking to tight ends here in Indy. I literally, right when y'all called me, I read on Twitter that they've got a formal interview scheduled with Jared Pinkney, the tight end out of Vanderbilt. So I have a feeling, you know, for all the needs on defense, I think they're going to be doing their diligence on tight ends and receivers as well.
Offense still very good, though, and because of that, I think people would say they could still win plenty of games to make the playoffs, but with a defense like this, do they feel like contenders? What's the word in Indy about the Cowboys going into 2020 before the draft and free agency? Are they really in the thick of this thing still?
I don't know how you could call them anything until you know who's going to be on their team. Like, I mean, we all expect Dak would be tagged if he's not signed, but, like, the quarterback of the team is not under contract. We don't know what's going to happen with Amari Cooper and Byron Jones. Like, you know, under the current rules of the CBA, they'd be able to tag two guys. But does that change if a new CBA is put in place? And if that's the case, like, you know, it's almost a nightmare to think that, you know, a change in the rules could mean Amari Cooper might be allowed to hit free agency. That's something that you absolutely have to consider. I think that adds to the urgency of getting this Dak deal done so that you can tag Amari. So it's hard to call them contenders when you think about all those variables, and that doesn't even get into defense. I mean, the guy that led the team in sacks is a free agent. Honestly, I'm pretty sure DeMarcus Lawrence is the only starting caliber defensive lineman on this team who has a contract right now. That's kind of terrifying. But on the flip side, it's fun to think, you know, with a new regime in place, this team is undoubtedly going to target free agents, and it'll probably be a different class of free agents. You know, we've kind of heard the idea that the Cowboys are looking for beefier defensive linemen, probably a change in philosophy of what Rod Marinelli used to look for. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that you can add some defensive linemen that maybe this team wouldn't have been interested in years past. I think the crop of free agent defensive tackles that are going to be on the market next month is awfully enticing from the top down. So it's just interesting to think that, you know, I don't think it's going to be a drastic departure, but there's reason for optimism that this offseason could look a little bit different for the Cowboys. And I have a feeling 6 weeks from now, we're going to be talking about a much, much different cast of characters than what we have in mind right now.
Dave, have you heard anything or any updates on Leighton Vander Esch? I've been hearing some things that there's some concern there. Is there anything at the Star that you've heard that might be different than what people have reported? There just hadn't been a whole heck of a lot of information out there, but any type of update on that?
It sounds really vague. Like, you know, Stephen Jones, he was asked about it yesterday, and he didn't offer a ton of details. You know, he even said, he was like, our doctors have been in touch with him. I haven't talked to him. You know, they keep saying they feel good about it. I think that's the company line. You know, Stephen, he kind of intimated that, you know, there'll be a progression there where you'll obviously build up to it. He said, you know, the plan wouldn't be to have him go full speed until training camp anyway. I haven't heard anything, but I've just been around football long enough to know, like, neck injuries and back injuries give me pause. And, you know, I'm not trying to end the guy's career prematurely. I think that's a knee-jerk reaction. But at the same time, I'm also not just going to assume that he's going to come back as quickly or as easily as if this was a sprained ankle or something like that. You know, I mean, that's tricky stuff when you're talking about the most physical position in football. So I haven't heard any rumblings that things are off course, but I just that injury scares me enough to where I don't want to be overly optimistic until I have some evidence to be, I guess.
Dave, were you at Joe Burrow's part of the media availability?
I was a little bit late, but I did want to make it over there just to say that I was there. I honestly wanted to take a selfie, but there were just way too many people there. Honestly, I thought it was pretty rude that my QB was talking and like 800 members of the media were in my way. But what are you going to do?
That's what I was wondering. Will we come across a picture of maybe, I don't know, Proud Hellman while Joe's talking?
I don't think so. I think there's a photo of me in the crowd somewhere, but like there were 9,000 people there. It's like they didn't even understand that's my guy. And I thought it was pretty inconsiderate. But, you know, he's probably going to be the number one overall pick, so I guess I get the hype. But, like, I don't know. It seems like BS that I have to share him with everybody else now that he's going pro, but it goes with the territory.
Let me ask you this. Do you miss me being with you there, like organizing everything, kind of holding your hand like your dad?
First of all, screw you. Like,
what?
I'm 31 years old. I can handle all of that myself.
No, you can't. Like, when it's cold, you like quit. You stop halfway.
you try
to lay down and die.
Radio Row is sadder without you, man. I will promise you that. Like it's
nobody yelling at Mike Kills. Nobody's yelling, shut up, Mike Kills.
There's nobody here bantering with me and just being an obnoxious jerk. Everybody's like much more professional and quiet. It seems like people are working a lot harder. Like the jovial attitude of the whole thing isn't as raucous as it was when you were here. Our buddies with the Raiders are right across the way from us, and like, you know, it's fun to have them here, but it just feels like we're down a couple notches without you. But I mean, you know, as far as actually getting work done, we're fine. It's just not as much fun.
Do you have people that are going out and drinking with you? Who's going to the Slippery Noodle?
I'm planning those moves right now. Like I got like 3 hours of sleep on Sunday night, so I went to bed early last night, but definitely planning on hitting all the combine haunts tonight, trying to network and do all that stupid stuff that we're supposed to do while we're here. And, I'll have a few bevs in your honor, and I'll try to not call into the fan while I'm under the influence like we did that one time.
Ooh, I thought that was a good call.
That was a good segment,
they,
I thought.
They probably shouldn't have scheduled a call in for me.
Grade A radio when you're five deep at the Slippery Noodle.
Only five?
Maybe a little more. Maybe a little more. Yeah, a little more.
I think five is the number that you say at the max.
Yeah.
No matter how many you've had, you top it off at five to make it sound like you're responsible.
Sure.
Yeah.
Five sounds fun but responsible, and the higher the number goes, it just sounds just more and more not great.
All righty, Dave. Thank you so much for your insights there from the Combine, and we look forward to reading more of your stuff at DallasCowboys.com and your very witty tweets on Twitter as well.
I really appreciate that, y'all. Thanks. Talk to you later.
There he goes. He's David Hellman, DallasCowboys.com.
It's very much like I would advise all of our listeners to never drink and drive. But
no.
If you find yourself in that spot, say any number but two.
Yeah.
If you get pulled over and you say, oh, I mean, you had two. When you say two, they know that you're drunk.
Yeah.
That's the number you default to if you've had too many.
Yeah.
So
it's on every episode of Cops.
Yes. Yeah. Different number. Don't go with two.
And keep your shirt on, too, on Cops. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that will get you more of the benefit of the doubt.
No, it doesn't.
That's where the term wife beater came from.
Yeah. If you're going without your shirt, you're going downtown.
Yeah, that's where it came from.
You need to keep your shirt on. Yeah, keep your shirt on.
All right, here we go, Jeff. It's time for your unnamed segment of the day. Where are we going with that?
Breaking Mavs news, the coronavirus, and what's going on with Hot Pockets.
Oh, thank you very much, Lucius. Yes, and we need to give some love to Soda, state-of-the-art weight loss. These guys are amazing. And to My Computer Career. You can hear from Jeff often about that thing and brought us about the other. Here he is, Jeff Cavanaugh, with his unnamed segment of the day.
Hi, everybody. Looks like they pounded on the tower a little bit today, the Leaning Tower of Dallas.
Well, they get out a belt sander or something?
Yeah, because I didn't see a crane. Did you guys see a crane all day?
No crane today.
What are they doing? Because it does look like they did something to the exterior.
Yeah. I think they're inviting tourists now to throw rocks at it.
Did you guys see?
A big old chunk fell off.
Like, yeah.
From the top, big old chunk.
Did you see? I was surprised last night when I got home because, I mean, we're, you know, less than a quarter mile from it probably. We can see it out the window. And I really thought it was an 8-pound kettlebell they were hitting that building with. They're saying it was 6,000 pounds.
Of course.
The thing they were hitting it with. I don't know. I just don't know.
It was about 3 feet tall by 2 feet wide. Of steel, I suppose that, or I don't know what they're made out of, but
yeah. I just feel like
it
if I was over
50
there,
on the side of it. I assume that was 50 pounds by the looks.
50?
Yeah.
If they had, I feel like if I was down there and they're like, hey, can you put the wrecking ball in the truck? I could be like, sure, and just pick it up and move it. I don't know if I buy this 6,000-pound thing.
I was embarrassed when I got home last night to see that the story that the crane couldn't support a better wrecking ball.
Right, right.
We don't need to be in a hurry. That's bad optics for the city. That makes us look pathetic.
Sure.
You know what you could do? You could, if somebody would sign up for this, and I would. You guys ever been to Hurricane Harbor?
Yeah.
You know the big old thing where they kind of ratchet people up in it, and then you like pull the cord, or they pull the cord, and you go, wee, and you go swinging real far? Set that swing up right there on the service road. Get the one that weighs 20,000 pounds. Let it go once.
Yeah.
One time. Bow! We go through it, building down. We're all good.
They must have decided on different techniques, or that crane was indeed an embarrassment. Maybe they're just.
It sounds like there's going to be some digging going on here. Like they were going to knock a certain section and then go underneath and kind of tunnel it down.
So basically, the elevator shaft won.
Yeah.
Like, all right, here's
basically,
the thing.
Yeah.
Can't beat it. Got to go underneath it.
Got to go deep.
I think the low bid won, and these guys have no clue what the hell they're doing.
Man,
they just wanted to get out there.
That's messed up.
How about you?
We'll do it for 10 grand, City.
That's why I never take a low bid.
Jeff going after the operator. The guy's probably super talented, or the lady's super talented. Jeff, like, do a better job over there.
I understand we have rules. And regulations. I understand that.
Oh, she'll get after you on these type of things.
Knock it down.
Yeah.
Look, clearly how far I'm moving, it's not working. I'm willing to risk this crane to get this building down.
So do you remember during the storm, the crane that fell into the apartment building?
Yeah, but I'd keep a better handle on it than that.
I think
and if
related.
It falls on that building, who cares?
Exactly. But what if the crane falls and hits a tourist?
Yeah.
Well, we would hope that the crane would fall and hit the building. Because we're trying to knock the building down.
General, you saw the Kingdome come down, right?
Seattle? Yeah.
That thing was one shot.
Boom.
Right on top of itself.
That was a perfect implosion.
Texas Stadium was one shot. Yeah.
2010. Yeah. That was great work there.
Yeah.
Took them a while to clean it up.
Like, this is an embarrassment to everyone. Hopefully the tourism's doing great. A lot of people scheduling flights to come into Dallas.
I got my t-shirt. Got a t-shirt.
What kind of t-shirt?
The crane. Crane and building shirt.
Anyway, I didn't even mean to do that here. I meant to tell you that there's breaking news on your Mavericks. Jalen Brunson's out at least 4 games, which will be big news to Gavin, who I believe tried to cut him earlier.
He did.
The show.
He did.
I believe he tried to release a second-round pick who's played well for the Mavericks. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, I'd be ready to move on if they just wanted to say, we don't need you.
Well, I bet he has trade value. I bet you
maybe
can just wait
a
little,
tiny bit.
Guy's a winner.
He is a winner. Two-time.
Yeah, two-time winner.
Oh,
what do you like about him, General?
Well, his lack of basketball game.
Wow.
But
whoa.
I think it kind of he's short legs. He's short-legged.
You don't like the way he looks. Because, like, if you run out him and DeLon Wright, who have, like, the same shooting percentages, one of them looks athletic and one looks kind of stumpy.
Yeah.
That's kind of where
you don't like my Derek Fisher comparison?
Well, I mean, this guy's 6'1". How many people could he stay in front of? He's stout. I mean,
stay in front of you.
He definitely could.
How dare you criticize a guy who's better than you at basketball?
I'm just excited that now we get to see the better basketball player on the court, who's a guy in his mid-30s coming off a torn Achilles.
See, you guys confuse me on this stuff. You know, you give me, you draw me into team building.
I like Brunson.
Yeah, and why do you play? Well, don't play these guys. And then I'm like, hey, the general and Jeff, they're on to something. And then I'm like, okay. And then the next thing it's no, it's like, nah, play the old dude.
Well, you got to do
just
it all.
Just go ahead and play the old dude.
It's all at the same time. Because what you're doing here is you weren't going to take Randall Cobb out so that Jonvay Johnson could get some snaps because we're trying to win while we develop our players. The full-blown development time, that's at tank time. Tank time's gone. We've passed the tank. We're going to accidentally make the playoffs.
And the Mavs are in a little bit of limbo here, where I think for a lot of the year they were better than they thought they would be, and they thought, we don't want to burn up J.J. Barea, even though he's the better player. He's old. When we get to the playoffs, we need him fresh. So, sure, let's develop Jalen Brunson. I don't think they'd be doing that if it was 4 years from now and they'd added star pieces around their core and, you know, they were going for a championship. I think they'd be playing for the best possible seed in the playoffs, not trying to develop a second-round pick.
A little bit too serious of Mavericks talk there, guys.
No, I just cast one more question.
No, I agree.
One more question.
Oh, no, one more question.
But the whole thing you were talking about, Bradley Beal.
Yeah. And,
but is that one of those deals that does make sense that could bring, you know, Mike was talking about a championship type of piece. Is that really?
It's tough to get Bradley Beal because you don't have many trade assets.
Got Brunson.
But if you're willing to take John Wall along, coming off an Achilles, with 3 years and $132 million left, I would be interested to know.
How do we have cap space for both of them?
You would have to part with, you know, Courtney Lee.
Yeah, there was like four guys. Okay. You got rid of a bunch of guys. Yeah.
But I think Mike made a great point that it's likely another team would have better young assets to just offer them straight up for Bradley Beal.
Okay, let me be totally
honest. Sorry about that. I was trying to learn.
I want to be totally honest with you guys. Very transparent here. I really just wanted to tease Mavericks so that it would be a sports tease so that I could move on to something
I'm
much
sorry,
more important.
I'm sorry, that's my fault. That's a rookie mistake.
I was trying to move on to something
I was I watched much the Mavs every damn night. I was trying to be a little excited about them.
The Olympics might be getting canceled.
So it's very irresponsible, Jeff. Throwing out teases you have no intention of paying off on.
Exactly. Listen, I'm learning bad radio.
Shut up, both of you.
Team building.
That is it. I've
screw
had enough.
Team building. Come on, Broadus, get with the game. You stiff.
We might have to cancel the Olympics. And I can't even say that sentence without laughing because of where I know this is headed.
Oh, no.
A senior member of the International Olympic Committee, he said today that if it proves too dangerous to hold the Olympics in Tokyo this summer because of the coronavirus outbreak, organizers are more likely to cancel it altogether than to postpone or move it.
Wow.
Yeah, so this was Dick Pound.
No. Richard Pound, please.
I'm reading an AP.
Is that
AP,
a story on The Onion?
I'm reading an AP story. Okay. This is the Associated Press. So anyway, have a little respect.
Is this an STD, the coronavirus?
Have a little respect for Dick Pound, of course, the former Canadian swimming champion.
What?
He's been on the International Olympic Committee since 78. He's the longest serving member. Estimated there is a 3-month window, perhaps a 2-month one, to decide the fate of the Tokyo Olympics, meaning a decision could be put off until late May. So if you guys want the quotes from Dick Pound, just check out the AP story. It's out there.
Okay, good to know. You know, there's a lot of those sports coronavirus stories coming around these days.
There are. It's a big story, but the coronavirus and the Olympics are big. So in other news, the heiress to Hot Pockets. Are you guys familiar with the heiress to Hot Pocket?
That's your favorite snack, isn't it?
The Hot Pocket Throne. Yeah. I used to love the Hot Pocket.
But that was a code word for something.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah. Yeah, that too.
Many years ago, one of Jeff's unnamed segments of the day was about code words for that very intimate and private area that women would not be offended by.
Sure.
And we found it hilarious that most women give Hot Pocket the thumbs up.
Yeah.
Okay. Hot Pocket. Anyway,
Dick Pound and Hot Pocket.
So anyway, the lady who is the heiress to the Hot Pocket throne, she, by the way, beautiful. She's a great-looking lady.
Imagine that.
She's going to prison.
Yeah.
She's going 5 months in prison, and it's because she also tried to buy her daughter's way into college as part of the big nationwide admission scandal. Her name is Michelle Genaves. She's 49 years old. Her family invented Hot Pockets back in 83. Now, they did sell the company, so I don't know how you're an heiress to the company that you sold. Maybe she's the heiress to the Hot Pocket fortune.
Yes, yes,
that's what she is.
She's on the Hot Pocket trust fund there.
There you go.
Yeah, it's kicking her down a bunch of cash still.
So she's going to go 5 months in prison, and then she'll have 2 years of supervised release in order to pay a $250,000 fine. It's a quote from the U.S. District Judge. It's certainly true the vast majority of parents truly love their children and want their children to get into their college of choice. But those same parents don't try to brazenly get their children into a side door by bribing college officials. And they love their children as much as you do, ma'am.
That's just pathetic that you need your kid to go to a certain university, you know?
It's pathetic that your kids can't make good grades.
That's also pathetic.
Get it together, kids.
Yeah.
She had to pay $100,000 to get someone to fix the answers on her daughter's ACT exams twice. How do I pay it? If I'm paying you, she ain't taking it twice. You can fix it the first time.
One should be good enough. Oh.
She also agreed to spend another $200,000 to have another daughter recruited as a beach volleyball player at the University of Southern California. But she got arrested before her daughter could be admitted and had not yet coughed up all the cash, prosecutors said. I don't think I should go to prison then. I hadn't even done the transaction. What if I was trying to get evidence to give to you guys about this corruption?
To me, it's a stupid story. That's only necessary because of the even dumber things we've done to people of far less privilege who committed far less heinous acts. Like the gal who went to jail for 10 years for changing her kid's, address.
Address, yeah.
Yeah. So we've had those, and we've done such insane stuff to, you know, people that are less fortunate, can't afford the big lawyers, that now a portion of our society demands justice in these situations. Yeah. I don't give a crap. Yeah. If your spoiled brat, poor student gets into a college they shouldn't be at, there's a bunch of kids that shouldn't be there, but they're good at sports or their parents built buildings, you know? So I don't care about these kids getting in. But I do think it's sweet that these privileged parents who just thought they could flash cash around are going to have to do some hard time.
It is messed up. They'll get 3 square meals a day, though. I've heard prison's not too bad. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, we had a caller one time said people are committing crimes just to get in there.
Yeah, because it's great, so hangout. Good. Very cushy. I do need to look up. Do you guys know the punishment for indecent exposure on the first time? Because I got a thing going on with the gate at the house. I got a solar-powered gate, but it's freaking out on me. It's on the skids. It opens on its own like 15 times a day.
That's a problem.
It never closes on its own. Oh. So the last 2 mornings, I've walked out.
Bad battery? Holding the charge?
I don't know, but I've walked out and let the dog out the last 2 mornings, and I walk out at the same time because I go to the bathroom in the backyard to let her know that it's cool.
Yeah.
And both times, I've been staring at an open gate. Well, so I think it's only a matter of time before I find out the sentence for that.
And you're going to be on a watch list, I believe.
Yeah, because I walk out naked. It's my backyard.
You're not going to be able to live within like 2 miles of a school? These things and more.
I have to look up where the nearest school is. I pay a lot of taxes to that school, I'll tell you that. Lake Highlands doesn't play around with taxes.
Let's take a look at what is on 1053thefan.com when we get back.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.